Hello, everybody. The sun is almost out. It is a Tuesday, the last Tuesday of the month, last day of the month, and this is Connections on MSO News Sports. And welcome, Rick, along with Bill Newell, Josh Arnold, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. And we have what we hope is another informative program lined up for you. We try to do this every Tuesday, every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. live, and then, of course, we post it right after that so that it is on demand, and it is one of the so-called podcasts. Bring on our boys this morning. Good morning, Bill. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning. Good morning, Ben.
Well, it is another day of dealing with the emergency from a city perspective, a state perspective, and then we move out from there. And I keep looking for the day when the totals start to go down locally and then, you know, statewide. I ain't seen it yet. I don't know where to start. Bill, why don't we listen to your observations?
Well, as far as that's concerned, it seems like a lot of the advice or the guidance, rather, is that the numbers are still going to be going up for the next week or so. So this could be a difficult week. We were going to touch on we have a number of guests coming up, which are on the post. People can take a look at that to talk about the issue and how it's impacting them in different situations. Just a couple of notes here. Today, Salem News has a story by Julie Manganis that the Hawk Walk, which is a long-standing walk fundraiser for that organization, has obviously been postponed, but they're going to be doing a virtual walk in the month of May. We'll have the details. There's a link right on our post here to go to that their post, which is the Hawk website, and you get all the details there. And speaking of other things, this, you know, that has a rich tradition and widespread support on the North Shore. But also, in today's Daily Item, for the first time in its history, the Marblehead Festival of the Arts, like the Olympics, has been put off until next year. The annual festival takes place during the July 4th holiday, winter event. So now the 55th annual Marblehead Festival of the Arts will be held in July 2021.
Well, that's happening all over the place, and I just thought of another one that might be postponed. But Josh, let me just mention first one thing I found, Bill. I mentioned the gas prices this morning during North Shore today, and there's another post from AAA right now. The national average for a gallon of regular gas dropped below $2 per gallon for the first time in 4 years, and today's national gas price average is $1.99. And, you know, they also recommend some things for if you're storing your vehicle. You're not driving right now. I have my daughter's car. And the recommendations are, if possible, use a battery tender or other maintenance-type battery to keep the battery full if you're storing your car. Use a fuel stabilizer. Check your tire pressure and add 10 PS of pressure, 10 pounds per square inch of pressure to each tire, to prevent flat spots from forming on the tires. That is, if you don't, you know, get the car out and move it around enough. So add 10 PSI if you're going to store your car. You should prop up the wiper blades so the blades are off the windshield and won't get stuck to the glass. And this I also didn't know. If you're storing your car, you ought not to use your parking brake. The brake could become frozen and the brake pads could rust to the rotors, or brake shoes could distort the drums. With an automatic transmission, simply place the vehicle in park. If the car has a manual, put it in first or reverse. All right. I don't know there are many manuals around.
You know, Rick. I think it might be. If it were me, I would take it out every 3 days.
Yeah, that's
a little easier.
That's what I've been trying to do.
Take it around the block every 3 days.
Exactly.
Or 4 days.
Yeah.
You know?
Move it up and down the driveway. All right.
I saw a post on one of the Facebook groups, local ones, saying that Groveland gas price was $1.59 a gallon.
Well, I got a
in Groveland, Mass.
We can't go anywhere. The gas prices are going down. They'll probably keep going down and down because people aren't driving.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. We can't get out.
Well, I saw an article too saying that the accident rate was way down because nobody's driving. Some of the other articles I saw, CBS Boston had an article saying the Mass General doctor predicts the state will soon look like New York with the number of coronavirus outbreaks. And then another article from the Patch Network talking about Trump was trying to get supplies to Mass as rapidly as possible. He was addressing a report that the Massachusetts only received 17% of its requests for medical supplies, while Florida got 100%. The president indicated that the team is working and that more stuff will be headed to Massachusetts shortly.
Well, I noticed on social media that the great divide politically continues. I find that very unusual crisis.
Yeah, I was interested by Biden's remark on Meet the Press. Chuck Todd asked him about, he said, does the president have blood on his hands? And Biden's response was, no, I think that's too harsh. He said, not at all. He said he needs to stop thinking out loud and listen to the scientists, but he wasn't going to do that. And Cuomo, I thought, at yesterday's New York State briefing, handled that question well, or similar question. He said, hey, I'm not going to run for president. I don't want to be president. I'm here to do a job for, I'm here to do a job for the state of New York, and it's not the casualty, the people that are affected here aren't red people or blue people, they're red, white, and blue people. And he said, it's time to put politics aside, it's time to put partisan politics aside, we're all in this together, let's start acting more mature and so forth.
Well, good luck with
and
that.
And I think as long as he says that, and it takes that approach, the other people on both sides of the aisle have to tone it down a lot.
Hope so.
He's saying what the American wants, to, America generally wants to hear. They don't want to hear the partisan sniping that goes on and forth. They passed a $2 trillion stimulus or recovery pack, and it went dry since signing it, and both sides were teeing off of what the other side wanted that was outrageous. That's not everybody working together. That's the divisiveness that's been a part of the country for the last several years.
You know, there's some poll out on Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, and his favorability ratings, approval ratings, are through the roof, upwards. And one of the reasons why is what you're mentioning, Josh, but he said this the other day. I was listening to him. Here's the Democratic governor of New York, the state that has Senator Schumer, talking about that relief bill that was passed. And in that relief bill, according to Cuomo now, and I'm paraphrasing here, is that there's a piece in there on Medicaid reimbursements for the state that they will not pay you if you've adjusted your Medicaid program. And he was very proud of the fact that they passed, in a bipartisan effort in New York, reforms to their Medicaid program. And they won't be able to take the money from the federal government because they're already saving the money through reforms of the program. And he told Schumer, don't do this. You're going to hurt New York. And they did it anyway. That's the kind of bipartisanship, honest commentary that people love to hear, is that you can't have it one way. It's got to be both ways. Both sides have made mistakes in this. You go back and look at the transcripts from January, February, March. Both sides were downplaying the coronavirus, and look where we are at today. It's not a one-sided blame game here.
All right, Bill,
everybody teed off on Massey, the congressman from Kentucky, who wanted to delay the vote on the stimulus package. And you're seeing the Attorney General Barr's office and the FBI zeroing in on people, zeroing in on the people who may have unloaded stock just before the crash, and that's more of an after action thing, but they're addressing that now, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
All right, Bill, let's get off politics, guys, for a second here. Bill, can you mention your guest coming up? Apparently, we lost Bill. Well, I'll mention Bill's guest. You still there, Josh?
I'm here.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can talk to you guys later. We apparently lost Bill. And all right, so we're going to I'll check in with you later, Josh. We got to get to our guests.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. That's Josh Arnold along with Bill Newell. Apparently, Bill dropped off here. Bill will be talking with former Boston News director Ed Bell. I think he was with WBZ, as I recall. He lives in Marblehead. Be talking about news, I presume. And Bill also will be chatting with Andrea Baez, who is the executive director of the Lynn YMCA. I'll be chatting with Greg Verga about the real estate situation on Cape Ann in particular. And he'll also be mentioning a new edition, of Unfinished Music with Greg Verga that's coming up tomorrow here on MSO. And then finally, we'll be checking in with the assistant DPW director in Gloucester, Joe Lucido, about how the DPW is responding, working, and so on up on Cape Ann. So let's get right to it. We'll take our first break of the day and come back with our first guest. Be safe. Hope everybody's okay. The sun was almost out here for a while. This is a Tuesday. It's the last Tuesday of the month here in March. And I don't know that it's going out like a lamb.
You'll love the Bradford Tavern in Rowley as they feature a menu to please everyone. Start your meal with your choice from a dozen delicious appetizers. There are also soups and fresh salads. Dinner selections include burgers, sirloin tips, chicken parmesan, chicken piccata, and then there's seafood, clams, haddocks, salmon, lobsters, and fish tacos, plus a wide selection of sandwiches and wraps. Let the Bradford Tavern host your events or functions set in unique spaces. Open 6 days a week, Tuesday through Sunday. The Bradford Tavern, Route 133 Rowley and Bradford Tavern.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and patio doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber.
Check out live sporting events on MSO News Sports and exclusive interviews with coaches and players. When it comes to local news and sports, MSO News Sports keeps you connected to the big stories. Ed Bell from Marblehead is joining us here, and Ed is a former news director at WBZ, WHDH Radio, Channel 7 in Boston, Associated Press, Washington, and Boston Bureau Chief for APTV. And Ed, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Ed, I want to talk to you a little bit about the coverage that we're seeing around the coronavirus, COVID-19, but you also do a television show in Marblehead that is now on hiatus because of all of this. But what are you hearing from Marblehead? And tell us a little bit about your role as host and the different guests that you have on the program.
Well, Marblehead's a little bit of an enclave, so we're not seeing any real cases of coronavirus here, at least that we know about yet. Our television show is based at the middle school where MHTV has its headquarters and its studio. And the schools are closed, and they're being deep cleaned, and so we haven't been in there at all. And it means that the show won't be taped this month. It's difficult to do it remotely because the show depends on an interchange between all of the panelists that are sitting there. You could try it remotely, but it would be a little awkward, so I think we're just going to remain on hiatus for the month of April.
Let me ask you this. If you were to do a television show, let's say today, who would be on your show?
Well, Anthony Silva from WBZ is one of the regular panelists. Chris Stevens, who lives in Nahant and is the editor of the Marblehead Reporter, is another. Will Dowd, who writes for the Swampscott Reporter and the Salem Gazette, is usually on there. And Ethan Foreman from the Salem News.
Wow, that's a great group of people you've assembled, huh?
Yeah. We are very proud of it. This would have been our 77th show.
Hmm.
And it's a monthly show, so you do the math and you can tell we've been on there for a number of years. I think we have the largest crew of any production at MHTV. And we're probably, other than headliner, we're the longest running show.
Unbelievable. Great. And it's only monthly. But so that means every show is high quality, correct?
That's correct. I mean, and it kind of follows the pattern of life in Marblehead. The town warrant is being put together at this point, and we're working up to town meeting in May. So our topics would include issues that would be on the town meeting warrant, things like banning leaf blowers and winter parking, and an override request to rebuild the public library here. So those are all issues that we would be kicking around this month if we were on the air.
Well, we're talking with Ed Bell. Ed, since involved in the coronavirus shutdown, if you will, isolation or social isolating here, tell us what you're thinking and what you're seeing with the news coverage. I understand you do consume a lot of television news.
Well, I was watching CBS this morning, and all three anchors are in their homes, and they're interacting as best they can. They're stepping on top of one another, but that's to be expected, you know, when you're not all together in the same studio. I do think there has been some helpful information. There's been some hopeful information in terms of the plasma that they're testing to see if, you know, if they can get a cure out of it. So I think that the quality of the news so far has been better than pre-pandemic.
I think I would agree with you on that. I think you're absolutely right about it. It's a good point to make. And it's clearly the story's in front of us, but there's a lot to report on that story.
That's correct. And people in the media seem to be taking it very seriously. And so there aren't a lot of gaffes, and I think that there's a lot of thought going into the programming now.
Now, you worked in Washington, Ed, or did you work in Boston for the Washington AP?
I worked in Washington, D.C. I was the head of AP's television division at the time, and my work down there was more executive than news type. But certainly the city kind of surrounds you, and you get caught up in everything that's going on.
I'm wondering here, Ed, you must have a lot of insight and still know people that work with the Associated Press. Now, the Associated Press, just a decade or two ago, was a monster news organization that every media outlet, television, radio, they all subscribed to it, newspapers and so on. Has it shrunk now with all the other, with the consolidation in media?
Well, the newspaper division has shrunk with the consolidation of newspapers and the In those newspapers that have gone out of business, and so the main drivers of business at the Associated Press these days are the internet and the broadcasters, and there haven't been many television stations, or any to my knowledge, that have gone dark. So they all subscribe to the Associated Press, the biggest consumers of news from AP are turning out to be places like Yahoo.
Interesting. Okay. Do you have any thoughts on the way we're getting news nowadays to the way we used to get news? I look back at the old days in Boston radio. I mean, you had vibrant news staffs on both WBZ radio, H radio. I mean, those were great days to listen to radio.
Yeah, radio is shrinking, obviously, and there's a ton of consolidation in radio, and a lot of the news that you hear now is not necessarily locally generated. It's kind of a national mishmash of information. When I was at WBZ, I had a staff of 14. I'm not sure they're anywhere near that today.
And they're an all-new station, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess let me end with this, Ed, is the president's news conferences now. I wanted to get your take on this because I understand ratings-wise they're a monster hit. I mean, rivaling Monday Night Football for audience, although I think Monday Night Football audiences may have dropped in the last decade as well. But anyway, Monday Night Football audience, and it seems as if a lot of people are watching these, but networks are covering them different ways.
Well, I was surprised. You know, we used to have a rule that you couldn't cut away from a presidential news conference, and the networks are doing that, which is all right, because now you have the all-news cable, and if you want it, you can switch over to a CNN or a Fox or whatever, you know, whatever you're used to seeing. So I don't have any dispute with that. I see a newscast as see all, you know, all the bit players that kind of step to the mic when the president, vice president, Dr. Fauci, and Dr. Birx are done, but that's kind of changed.
Yeah, I kind of monitor every once in a while. Since I'm home, like a lot of us are, I'll flip around and I'll have a criticism of Trump is he does tend to talk a little bit too much and too long, and by that time I get it that if I'm Channel 5 or Channel 4, I might bump away from that. I get it and go back to my local news. And then you miss the doctors, which really are the guys, Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci, which are really kind of the more interesting piece or the information that really needs to get out there to people.
Well, if the president stays on script, that's fine. But he tends to go off the rails and then it's all over the place.
Well, and I think that's good television, but on the other hand, I guess it, as far as information, some folks that might be watching some channel might then miss out, as I'm saying, on Dr. Birx or Dr. Fauci or whatever. Ed, anything else to share with us? I know you're just back from the south, from Florida, back up here in our beautiful weather here, but any other thoughts on what you're seeing here in this really most unusual time for the country?
Well, you know, we got off an airplane a couple of weeks ago, and because we had been flying in very close quarters, we self-quarantined for 2 weeks. And now we're part of the stay-at-home crowd anyway. So I mean, that's kind of the way that worked out. It's interesting. You can do some creative stuff with the Internet. Thank God we have the Internet these days. Last night we had a virtual family scavenger hunt, and people were members of our family were on from places like Marlboro and Marion and Marblehead, and we were all running around our house gathering stuff for a scavenger hunt. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I organized a conference call with our extended family last Sunday night, and that worked out pretty good. So.
Yeah.
I was surprised. We got a pretty good turnout on that from around the country, so that was neat. And I thought about it. It was Sunday afternoon. I thought about it, but did not do it this week. But maybe again, we'll see what happens, how that plays out. But Ed, always good talking with you, and hopefully we can check back again soon. But be safe, and again, thanks for your insights.
Thank you, Bill. Nice talking to you, too.
Ed Bell with us here on Connections.
This is Connections on MSONewsSports.com.
All right, we're joined now by Greg Verga, who is well-known to MSO, of course, former school committee person, city councilor, also a real estate agent, and our political analyst at times here on MSO. Greg, how are you and your family making out here in this thing?
We're hanging in there. I mean, for us, it's a little bit close to home because my wife and my daughter are both nurses. So it's, kind of nerve-wracking on that end.
But, yeah.
And fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely. Have they been affected by the so-called PPE shortage?
Not yet. I mean, my daughter is a nurse at a jail. I don't want to give any details, but so they've been fortunate that they locked it down pretty quick and kept guests, you know, visitors out. So as far as I know, no inmates have been infected. So she's so far so good. You know, it's who knows what the staff could bring in. And my wife works in labor and delivery, so she's not on the front line per se in the emergency room or ICU, but every day she's got to walk through that that corridor that's, you know, suspect in terms of what's floating around in the air.
Of course.
But as far as PPE, it hasn't hit yet. I do know that they've one of her colleagues who lives in Gloucester got someone donated 195 masks. So you know, and I did actually see that in the Gloucester Times today that they're looking for donations. So it's kind of ridiculous that the hospitals are now begging for equipment, you know, personal protective equipment from the public. But,
all right, we're going to we'll save the political comments for later. Right now, Greg, what I want to ask you about is I'm curious as to what's going on in so many different businesses, or maybe what's not going on. And in the real estate business, I was just thinking, how are people dealing with this? And maybe just your observations. And tell me where you are. What real estate agency are you with?
I'm with Coldwell Banker in Gloucester now, and it's been, you know, as you can imagine, the lockdown, the shelter in place, whatever we're calling it these days, has had a dramatic impact on real estate. In my case, I have a listing that I got in under the wire, that it went under agreement just as all this stuff was happening. And I have it's fortunately that people have already moved out, so and it's on a lockbox. So I'm able to send the buyer agent in alone, able to send the inspector in alone. So there wasn't a whole lot of people in a small house, so it's not like we're bumping into each other. So I was lucky for that particular transaction, but others, I'm assuming, weren't so lucky. I mean, we got recommendations from the National Association of Realtors several weeks ago that we should not be doing open houses. It's since become, you know, the law, so to speak. And I would not want to be doing an open house, and I wouldn't, if I were a home seller, I wouldn't want a bunch of strangers coming in my house. Imagine it's, you know, this isn't something like you go on Amazon and you pick out, you know, I don't know, a widget, and they mail it to you. This is something you have to actually go and look at before you buy it. So it's the impact, I would assume, real estate, probably a lot like car dealerships, are at a complete standstill. I mean, fortunately for transactions like mine that have gotten an accepted offer, the law firms are considered essential. So, you know, that process is still able to move along. When it comes time for the actual closing, it'll be interesting how that's handled, because some things have to be signed in person and notarized, and other things can be done electronically.
What are you hearing from either colleagues or people who, you know, either wanted to buy or sell? Are you getting any phone calls? Are you talking to colleagues about the situation? Because, you know, people still are looking to the future, although the future is definitely on hold.
Well, I think that's, you just, that last couple words you said, on hold, that's pretty much where we are. I mean, if you were selling, you were along in the process and you had buyers looking, you know, perhaps they were able to, as I was, slip in under the wire. But once the plug was pulled by the governor, and he was absolutely correct to do it, then that's it. You know, everything is just put on pause. I mean, you really can't. I mean, there was talk and tutorials through our association and through our offices of how to do virtual showings and things like that. But I think people are just pretty frightened to you know, go into strange places with strange people.
Well, that's true. And sometimes it's even going to familiar places with familiar people. It's just, it's a very strange thing right now. And I think you're right. Everything is just sort of suspended in suspended animation here. And so it's the same with the real estate business. Greg, anything about real estate before we ask you about your next unfinished music show?
Well, one thing I could say is, you know, I had a showing a couple of weeks ago, you know, before things really got bad. You know, the state had recognized and told us to be careful. The federal government hadn't done their thing yet. And, you know, when it was a vacant home and it was a buyer I hadn't met. So when he came to the house, you know, we were about 6-7 feet apart, and I just sort of said, wave, so let's keep our distance. But then when we were leaving, autopilot clicked in and I shook his hand.
Yeah, yeah.
you know? And it's like, and so I sort of, luckily it was up the street from my house, so I didn't have to get in my car. I just walked down the street, sort of holding my hand out like it was going into surgery at home and scrubbed my hand, you know? Yeah. But, you know, that's what makes it difficult, because it's a whole, a complete change of behavior for everybody.
I think it's going
in
to be.
In my business, it is, you know, we're primarily meeting new people, and the tradition for the last, you know, several thousand years is you shake hands.
Exactly, and I think, you know, it's going to be a cultural change worldwide, probably, and, you know, it's one of the things about civilization. Civilization bring, you know, you got civilization because people wanted to be together.
Right.
And I think, I was just thinking that I think it's the Japanese tradition of bowing to one another.
Oh, right.
I kind of like that.
That is the Balkan salute.
That's right. Live long and prosper. Amen to that. All right. Finally, Greg, unfinished music coming up. You've got a concert that we'll be posting here very soon on MSO.
Yeah, we had in early March, we had Lindsay Garfield, who is from Swampscott. She had spent several years, a decade actually, in San Francisco area. And, you know, she was on with a band on Good Morning America, and they toured Europe. So, you know, they got around, and she's, for health reasons, she returned to the area, and you can hear all the details in the interview. But I actually ran into her at an open mic night down at Minglewood on Roger Street. And I reached out to her and asked her to be on the show, and she said, sure. So she's a very talented girl, great voice, and some very interesting songs and interesting stories. So that should be posted on April 1st, and I'd love people to tune in and let us know what they think of it.
Absolutely. We'll have it up there. And you have a Facebook page related to that also, Greg?
Yeah, Unfinished Music is on Facebook. I think if you just, in the search bar on Facebook, just type in Unfinished Music.
Okay.
And I'm probably the only one that's going to pop up.
All right. So we'll also link to that. And, you know, last, Greg, have you seen any of these, what are they called, watch shows on Facebook, I think they're called? Watch Me or Watch Shows?
Well, for performances, you mean?
Yeah,
yeah.
These little concerts, yeah, these home concerts are springing up.
We had, my band was going to do a Facebook Live concert at our last rehearsal, which was supposed to be a week ago Tuesday, but things got really bad, and we practiced here at my house, so I pulled the plug. I said, we're not practicing.
Right.
But there were a lot of people around Gloucester and Cape Ann who, you know, sing and play their instrument. I don't sing, so I mean, I could do a Facebook Live, but I don't think anybody wants to watch me play the bass. but several of my, friends and musical colleagues have been doing Facebook Live mini concerts. Actually, on my Facebook, the Unfinished Music page, I do have a link to a concert that my next guest, Lindsay, did from her living room for an hour long. So that's what's been going on, and it's a great way to keep things live. And it's not just the local people, but the big stars are doing it too. And, you know, I think Springsteen actually released a streaming of a concert from 2009 that had never been released. So,
yeah.
You know, everybody understands this is serious, and they're doing what they can to try to make life a little easier and more entertaining for people.
Absolutely.
But we are, you know, I think stir crazy is probably an understatement. I take over. And, you know, the president yesterday said till at least the end of April, you know, the federal recommendation. So we got a long way to go.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows if by April 30th we're ready to emerge from our cocoons.
We'll make it, and we'll have to do this more often. Greg, thank you so much. Stay safe, and look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks a lot, Rick. Talk to you later.
All right, thanks, Greg. Take care. That is Greg Virga, who was the host of Unfinished Music with Greg Virga here on MSO News Sports. We'll have our most recent posting concert, rather, coming up on April 1. And, of course, he's also a former city councilor, former school committee person in Gloucester, and, of course, a real estate agent talking about the current slowdown or shutdown or suspension, if you will. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom T-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com. Catch the big names in North Shore news and sports on MSO News Sports Podcast. The North Shore's best leader for both news and sports features. Connect to the North Shore.
This is Connections on MSONewsSports.com.
Andrea Baez from the Lynn YMCA is joining us. And Andrea, welcome. Good to be talking with you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Andrea, I think the Y does so much work that a lot of folks really don't know that the Y does. And now in this time of need, a lot of the things that you might normally do, you can't do because you're closed at some level. But as far as the Lynn YMCA is concerned, you guys are one of those emergency child care centers. Tell us about that.
Sure. So we have opened our doors for essential workers that still need to go to work to fight the COVID-19 virus. So people who work at the health center, people who work at Market Basket, first responders, they still need care for their children. And so we have opened our doors in a very different capacity than what we are used to. During regular times, our building sees about 600 kids a day. We currently have the capacity for 40 youth. Ranging 2.9 years up through 12 and 13. As you can imagine, we are using the entire building to keep them as distant as we possibly can from each other while still providing them care while their parents are at work during this challenging time.
What are the hours of that? Are they regular daytime hours?
Yes, so we are open 7 to 6, Monday through Friday.
Gotcha. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is you are also doing meals there later on in the day, because Lynn schools are doing them in the middle of the day, right?
Correct. So we, during our regular operations, we serve hot supper every night at the Lynn YMCA. So between 5:30 and 6:30, youth in the city can come and get a hot meal. We've had to make an adjustment, obviously, where we can't have crowds gather, but we are a grab-and-go site from 2 to 5. That way that kids who need food at dinner time, not necessarily breakfast and lunch as the schools are doing, can come by the Y and they can pick up a meal and take it home. We also are working with the Lynn Mass Emergency Coalition, and we've become a diaper drop-off site. So people have been donating diapers, and families who need them have been calling to pick them up as well. So we are really trying to use our space where we do have emergency child care being open. We are really looking to bring in whatever we can, which is safe, but what the community needs. So diaper drive or food service. We are looking into doing a blood drive in the building. So things like that, because if we do have the capability to be open for that small capacity, we want to utilize as much as we can for the city itself.
Are you looking for any specific donations at this time?
Sure. So we are looking for diaper donations. We are looking for monetary donations. The state is funding in a very minimal capacity, the emergency child care. It is actually, about $2,500 per week for the room, which is not covering staffing, never mind disinfecting and cleaning and assorted other things. So the Y website does have a donate now to the Y Emergency Fund, which will help assist with emergency staffing and things like that as we navigate these new times.
Tell us about the kind of the decision-making process and what the Lynn Y and the other group of Ys that you're associated with, what the decision-making process was regarding the eventual shutting down.
So we knew that we had to take the recommendations of the cities that we work in and with the state, and we had to close our doors for the Y as we know it. But we did make some decisions about how we would still continue to be the Y. So we are doing virtual classes for people that they can go onto YouTube and they can take Y classes. We are getting groups of our Y Academy learners together via Zoom calls so children can still see their classmates. We are doing things online so people can see favorite instructors or staff or teachers. So we're really utilizing everything that we can in order for people to understand that our doors may physically be closed, but the Y, like so many years, is continued to reach our clientele. And you know, part of that right now, we're reaching out to senior members and calling them to see if any of them have needs. And some of it is just somebody to talk to. They're so happy to hear a familiar Y voice on the other end of the phone just checking in, because like Y's across the country, we are a place. We're a second family for people. So we are really utilizing the resources that we still do have, which is people power, for the small group of us that are still working, you know, to reach out and connect people and really figure out what we can do to help bridge the gap during this unprecedented time that we're in.
Andrea, I have one last question for you, but feel free to add something else at the end. Well, I'll give you some time, but something I didn't ask you about. But the new Y, the construction of the new Y, is going up right next to the current Y Boulevard. So give us an update in progress on the construction of the new Y.
Shun is actually still running. It has not been shut down. There is definitely different practices and procedures in place that you can physically see from a few weeks back to now. We actually got windows last week, which is so exciting because it's really starting to take the shape of the new building. We will continue for as long as it is safe for us and safe for the workers who are working on the building to continue. And, yeah, I mean, fingers crossed, we will not have to move that date. But if we do, for the safety of people, we certainly will. And we're excited. We're excited for the comeback. We're excited because that project has been so long, and it has been moving along so steadily. And for COVID-19 to kind of pause the world, you know, it was scary. It was scary to think that the building progression would stop again, because it has been a long time. But it is continuing. There are less people on site, but they are still working. And we are delighted to be able to reopen when it is safe for people to gather again and safe for people to be in our doors. But until then, we will continue to meet the needs of our community in any way that we can.
Andrea, you may have mentioned it and I missed it.
Virtual classrooms. We are really trying to make sure that our members know that we are there and we are missing them, and we want to do whatever we can to keep them engaged with us until we can open our doors again.
You may have mentioned the tentative opening date of the new building, but when would that be?
We are looking, fingers crossed, November 16th, the doors will open.
November 16th. Huh? All right, great. Right on. That's pretty exact, Andrea. Anything else you want to share with us about the, you know, life at the Y in these times, as you mentioned?
You know, I just think that if people just took a minute when they thought about people who are fighting this terrible virus, if they just paused and thought about the people who are working with the kids, it is a new environment. So it is children that we don't necessarily know, kids who have never been in our facilities before, kids who may not have ever been in daycare before, who I'm sure are stressed themselves because their parents are on the front lines of this. So our staff are looking for a little bit of normalcy for them, and they really are heroes. I mean, some of these staff are young kids who are showing up every single, you know, taking all the precautionary measures, but really trying to make sure that they are providing some normalcy for these kids whose worlds are just upside down right now.
Well, Andrea, you got to where I wanted to get to, but you did it much better than I could have, I'm sure. But giving a shout out to your staff, absolutely, and you know, they are doing very important work, and obviously we're, as a community, very grateful to have people like that working, or a part of our community for sure.
Thank you so much. We're so happy to be able to help.
Andrea, thanks so much for your time, and fingers crossed. Best of luck. We'll be looking forward to November 16.
Excellent. Thank you.
Andrea Baez, Senior Executive Director, YMCA, the Lynn Branch. And this is Connections here on MSONewsSports.com.
Yes, it is, Bill, and thank you very much. Thank you, Andrea. Great information about the Lynn Y with Andrea Baez. And we're going to come back and talk now with the Assistant DPW Director up in Gloucester, old friend and former student Joe Lucido. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Rick, I'm well. How are you?
We're doing well. By the way, Josh Arnold is with us. Josh remotely working in his home studio. And Joe, so much to cover in such a short time. But I guess the first thing I should do is just ask you in general, what's going on with the DPW right now? Business as usual, business not as usual, somewhere in between?
So I think it's a combination of both, Rick and Josh. Welcome, good to hear from you, old friend, yep. Former boss.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gloucester DPW right now is trying to keep things business as usual, and we've done a handful of modifications. The way we, run business today, the gates of the front yard are shut. There's no public access anymore, but we're still running the same crews that we normally would. We have modified shifts running, so we don't have, so we're running like a 50-50 shift. So we have guys that are not seeing each other. So if by chance someone within the department were to be, contract a disease, or the virus, I should say, that we're not exposing everyone, which would potentially cripple public works. And as you all know, public works provides essential services for folks, and we need to be able to keep those services running. So we're doing no different than a lot of the other city departments. We're doing a lot of our business online, and we do have people manning the phones. So we have some folks remotely answering phones, making phone calls, but our trucks are still rolling every day. We have crews on the streets. Coming off of a slow winter, we thought we were in great shape because we were going to jump on these ball fields and get everything ready to go. And then, of course, 3 weeks ago, the brakes got slammed on us. And so now we're kind of, each week we kind of get together and say, okay, where do we go from here? And it's a learning curve for all of us. I mean, none of us have seen anything like this.
Joe, I was going to ask you about staffing, and you sort of touched on that. How long did it take you guys to modify the staffing, or in fact, is it modified? It seems that there have to have been some changes so that you do have this prevention that you just mentioned, so people don't come in contact with each other. But how long did it take for you guys to adjust to this?
So as a city on the whole, we had actually, I think we were a little bit ahead of the curve. We started talking about this probably 3 or 4 weeks ago. So we actually did have some plans in place, some different options, and they've changed a few times since. But basically, 2.5 weeks ago, all the managers met, and at that point in time, we decided that we cannot expose our staff to the potential of the virus. So we essentially closed down all city buildings. Shortly after that, that's when we went to a modified staffing within public works. So basically, we took the crew, the full staff, divided them in half, half in each division. So, we were working day on, day off. And now that the federal government has extended out through the end of April, we've gone to a week on, week off. So we have, a continuation of work every day. The day on, day off, I think it was, in thought it made sense, but now that we took a step back and look at it, I think week on, week off is much more productive as far as work's concerned, and of course keeping the exposure down.
It strikes me that the crisis creates its own problems, but it also creates its own opportunities. I know when you worked in the school department, there was a Al Harper had got the crew in, and then were for Al, and you'd bring the group in on a Saturday when there was nobody in the school, and they could, knock out 3 or 4 rooms if they were painting. I'm thinking, gee, if city buildings are closed, some things that you would ordinarily put off to a vacation cycle or a summer cycle could get done now. Is that possible, or is that dreaming?
So that's exactly what we're doing on the building side of things. We had our April vacation work scheduled. We reached out to our vendors early enough that we were able to modify our schedule. So we have those summer type activities or those school vacation type activities going on right now with our maintenance staff. We're pouring epoxy floors over at O'Malley in 6 bathrooms. We've accelerated our schedule and we're getting so much more done. Ceiling tiles, painting, those type of things. So it's
sure.
you know, when basically the schools shut down, we went into a full sanitization mode. So we basically, for the first 2 weeks, we went into every classroom. We brought all our night shift guys down to day shift, went in every classroom and sanitized from floor to ceiling. Once we get through that, we started working on the bathrooms and the common areas. So that was our immediate focus on the, you know, because we were anticipating that school was going to open up shortly thereafter. And, of course, now we know that's been extended. So that was our main focus. And then to take that a step further, then, you know, that kind of moved on to our other divisions within Public Works. Our water and sewer division, you know, they're starting to get their summer turn-ons. They're continuing to function like they normally would. Our public services division, they're starting to do their spring cleanups. They're start, you know, we're still working on ball fields. We're still doing potholes. So that hasn't changed. Our trash service, that hasn't changed. Trash and recycling is being picked up as it normally would be. We've modified, you know, unfortunately we had to close down our compost pickup for the end of the month. And then, of course, springtime, you know, coming off of winter is our busy time for all our contract work. We just started phase two of the Trask Street water and sewer improvements. They started back up about 3 weeks ago, and we're working right through this. They're continuing their work up there. Our paving projects that are typically scheduled for the spring, they started rolling late last week, and, you know, we're milling, grinding, pulverizing, getting ready for our paving project. So Public Works, in a sense, you know, we've modified our staffing, but we're moving forward. We, you know, we're doing the best we can without missing a beat.
Joe,
so it's been busy. It's, as I said, it's been eerily quiet here, but it's been very busy.
I think it's remarkable, Joe, that you guys have transitioned so seamlessly to this, and that the guys are out there working. And I admire, as I've told everybody, I looked at firefighters in a different way after 9/11, and I'm looking at DPW workers and grocery store workers and just about everybody who's still on the job. I mean, good clerks in takeout food. I mean, these people are amazing that they're still doing it, and I really appreciate what the Gloucester DPW is doing. And I noticed, I think it was several weeks ago now, that some of the spring work over on the harbor side of Stage Fort Park, clearing out all the brush, that was all done. I'm guessing that the mild winter helped give you guys a bit of a head start?
Yes, and that's it. And we, you know, it's a big changeover date for us, you know, and the question is, when is it safe to do so? So our equipment is all set up seasonal. So, you know, usually late November, we go into winter mode. So, you know, all the trucks are filled with sanders and spreaders. Plows go on.
Mm-hmm.
And we typically don't take that stuff off until April 1st. And even as, you know, you both remember, April 1st doesn't mean you're in the clear. We've had plenty of big storms.
Yeah, April 1st snowstorms. Yeah.
So, you know, we try to, you know, you roll the dice, and so we start breaking down some of the equipment. And because the winter was so mild, we were able to kind of make that transition a little bit earlier than we normally would, which allows us to get out there and do some of that work because, you know, once that weather starts breaking, you know, we go from 0 to 60. You know, there's really no downtime in between. You know, we're fortunate now that obviously typically we're fighting Mother Nature trying to get ball fields ready, and by now, you know, you'd be having scrimmages and games, and now that school's not in session, you know, we've been able to kind of reallocate that manpower and work on projects like Stage Fort. You know, we just spent some time over at Good Harbor Beach this weekend because our plovers have returned again.
Oh, boy.
It's doing our best to keep every ball in the air.
Finally, Joe.
Right now you have a lull because the growth cycle isn't much, and you don't have the demand of spring sports. It's going to warm up eventually. It doesn't feel it this week, but it's going to warm up, and there'll be a time when when the cut cycle is 3 or 4 days, whether the kids are back or not. So will you knock off all of the stuff? I mean, are you poised to jump into that, or will you have to back off of that a little bit?
No, so we'll cover it with, we have a contractor that does work with us as well, so we may push a little bit of that off to them just to try to keep everything else going. But, you know, sure, we're going to do our best to minimize any impact on the daily operations.
Finally, Joe, any advice to the public? Because, as I said, from my perspective, as just a resident, it's been seamless. I've seen the trucks out there. I've seen people working. And, of course, recycle and trash pickup hasn't missed a beat. Do you have any advice or any final comments you want to mention?
You know, I think the biggest thing we're seeing here is people have been patient. You know, we don't have that immediate response that we typically would have, but, you know, I think we've done a pretty good job of dealing with those phone calls. I'm on the road every day, and I think people are starting to realize that this is real. You know, for a while there, the traffic hadn't died down. Now things have slowed down quite a bit. There's not as many people on the road. I think people are really heeding the advice of the governor, and, you know, we're just working really closely with City Hall, and we've got a great team within the city, and I think we found ourselves a little bit ahead of the curve here, where a lot of cities and towns are playing catch up. I think we were in a good spot, and it shows, I hope you guys have recognized that and have seen that.
We have recognized, and it's no small feat what you're doing, because Gloucester is, what, the third or fourth largest municipality in terms of land space. We're spread out. We're not a Danvers or a Beverly or a Salem that's more condensed. You've got, you know, twice as much land to cover between the streets, the roads, the parks, and the bridges and everything else.
Yes.
Yep, that's it. That says it all, and they've done a great job. Joe, thank you so much for taking the time. I know how busy you are. My congratulations to you and to Mike Hale and to all your crew members in doing such a great job. And for God's sakes, man, be safe.
All right. Be well, guys.
Take care, Joe.
Take care.
All right. That is Joe Lucido. Josh is going to be joined here in a minute by Bill Newell for our final thoughts. You're listening to MSO News Sports, and this is Connections.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
MSONewsSports.com.
All right, we're back for our final segment here. Hold on. Josh? Hello? Okay.
You reached the cell phone, Josh.
Oh, my goodness. Are you there, Bill?
I'm here.
All right, I'm trying to figure this thing out here. Okay. All right, anyway, Bill, very interesting program. I didn't realize the Lynn Y was still taking care of business. That's a terrific story. And, of course, checking in with Ed Bell and his expertise on the newscast, very, very interesting stuff.
Yeah, obviously, you know, Ed does a great job with that television show that he does over in, you know, he's for years that he does in Marblehead, but for years he's behind the scenes, more or less. As I mentioned, some very vibrant days in the news business in Boston, Boston radio, TV, and so on. But again, his you know, there have a lot of things are on hiatus right now for some of those things, and obviously so. So yeah, there's a lot of things happening. We got a little bit of sun out there now, Rick. So at least where I am, so that's good. that's good news, although it's going to be like 40s again today.
But yeah, it's cool, and it's windy.
The containment continues.
Yep. And all-star cast that Ed Bell has also. That's pretty amazing.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah.
Jeez. Okay, Bell, so finally, let's see here. We have a lot of stuff, a lot of information we're still going to be imparting. You and I have got a lot of interviews lined up, and we'll do this all over again live as well on Thursday.
Yeah, we hope to have State Rep Dan Cahill with us, always very, very on top of things. We'll also should be checked back on the website, Newburyport Mayor. They've been very active as well on dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. And the and we do have information from the City of Salem, their latest release. It's on the North Shore Today Post. So if you click on that post, you can just go to that and get all the details and links right on that if you're a City of Salem resident. And also, there's an interesting video out there. It's some good news, I think that's what it's called. And it's John Krasinski, who's the former star of The Office. Kind of an interesting viral video that's going out. We have that posted on our North Shore Today post as well. And he does welcome in former Office co-star Steve Carell in that as well. So it's a lot of people are watching that video from John Krasinski, Boston area native as well. So might want to check that out today as well.
Is he the guy who does Jack Ryan?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. He did the commercial. Packed it.
Oh yeah. No, he's in that. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
He's in that. Yeah.
All right. I enjoyed the video you put up the other day too, with the guy imitating Peter Falk as a waiter. That blew me right out of my chair.
Yeah. You know, it is also I was researching some of these videos, and there's Peter Falk was a guest on the Johnny Carson show. Obviously, I happened to see a clip of that, and he was like that. I mean, he was a real character. And it's funny, in that interview, they talk about how popular that show was.
Oh, yeah.
And it was. It was just one of those. They had a series of mystery shows back then, and they rotated. So he would only be on, like, every 3 weeks or something.
Right.
I think that's how it was with Columbo.
Yeah, Dennis Weaver had a show, and he had one. Yeah, there were three or four of them rotating.
McMillan and
yep,
White.
Yep, yep. Rock Hudson, yep.
I could be wrong on that.
Yep.
One of those kind of shows.
There were a bunch of them, and it was really funny. The other one I liked, my favorite, I haven't seen it lately, but and then I'll get off the box here, but I loved it when President Bush, number one, when George W. Bush went on, I think it was... Saturday Night Live, and he did an imitation of Dana Carvey doing him, and it was just too good. All right, Bill, we'll talk to you in a second here. That is Bill Newell for Josh Arnold, for Bill Newell, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. I'm Rick Moore. This has been Connections. Please let us know what you think, or if you have some suggestions, at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. And we'll be back on Tuesday. Thank you for being with us.